Good morning, church. The reading this morning is about the Lord's Prayer, and it's from Matthew chapter 6, and I'm reading from verses 5 to 14. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
This morning, we're picking up on our Firm Foundations series under the theme, What is Prayer? So that's why I've offered that book. So, how busy's your day been? Busy. So far this morning, we're still in the morning, aren't we? Yes, just about. So how far has it been? Has it been really, really busy? Maybe you've leapt out of bed. Maybe. Or you've just managed to sort of pull yourself out or get yourself off the floor. Last night I spent the night sleeping on the floor in the lounge because the dog was making an awful lot of whimpering and because of the tension in the air and the lightning and so. I couldn't tell that, but she could tell that. And it was like, so I ended up sleeping downstairs, which is fine, because I'm used to that. I'm a scout. And I've always, I quite like sleeping on the floor, which is really, really, but there we go. But maybe you've leapt out of bed, or maybe you've grabbed breakfast, completed some jobs, and then got here. I want to start asking the following question. Have you taken time to pause since the moment you got up this morning? Have you taken time to pause since the moment you got up this morning? We live in a busy society. Our lives are busy. We can often end up moving from one activity to another without ever stopping to think. I know my wife likes to try and put into her diary, so she'll have a meeting and then another meeting, but I put a little bit of a block in between, just a moment to gather thoughts ready for the next one. I'm not so, I go from one to another. But maybe in your world, like you've had to develop a pattern where you can, actually I need to put a break just to give me 2 minutes to think, process, ready for the next one. This is the trick. I've decided to try and be a bit more eco-friendly and not print out my sermon. This week I have got it on paper and an iPad, just because I'm thinking, if this goes wrong, I have no idea. So, anyway. But yeah, so we are full of busyness, one thing after another. And that happens in the Christian world as well as in the secular world, I think. I'm a minister, and I can be busy. Oh, you must be really busy. I get the usual joke. Oh, you must be really busy, only having to do an hour and a half in the week on a Sunday morning. But yeah, we are busy, but we should all take moments to pause. And as a Christian, I think that pause is to pray. To pray. So when we pause, just take a stock, It's also an opportunity to say, okay, God, talk to me. The actor Mark Wahlberg has said, if I can start my day out by saying my prayers and getting myself focused, then I know I'm going to do the right thing. That 10-minute helps me in every way throughout the day. Martin Luther, the gentleman in the middle, is famously quoted as saying he prayed 2 hours a day. Unless he was really busy, then he would pray for three. Corrie ten Boom reminds us, beware the barrenness of a busy life. No matter how busy you might be, don't sacrifice your intimacy and communion with God. Isn't that often the case though? We get busy. What's the first thing that tends to drop? It's not Facebook. It's not TV. It tends to be prayer, Bible reading. So as we progress through the series, looking at faith foundations, we've come together to consider, what is prayer? I want you to take a moment to consider this question. Just now, think, what is prayer? What is prayer? And maybe, if you're comfortable, just share that with the person next to you. What your thought of what is prayer? This isn't a trick question. And now, I would imagine, maybe, you would have all been able to come up with an answer. I don't think any of you would have been stumped by that question. If you were, then maybe this morning, you will grab something. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, suggested that prayer is at the centre of Christian life. In considering our theme for today, a straightforward answer would be that prayer is talking to God. Did any of you have that as an answer? Yeah? Good. That's the simple answer. Prayer is talking to God. However, many people would consider that prayer is more than us just speaking to God. Rather, it is also a process of God communicating with us. Many people believe that prayer brings peace, reduces stress, gives them hope, helps them to care more about others, decreases how much they worry, brings them joy. There are several reasons why we might pray. These can include thanking God for what he has given us. Just as the story showed at the end of his day, he said thank you. Do you often say thank you to God? Sometimes I think we might take it for granted, but it's good to thank God. So thanking God for what he's given us, praising God for who he is, asking God for help, or tell him that we're sorry and ask and seek his forgiveness. Or we simply might just as well just tell what's on our hearts. Do you pour out your heart to God? Do you cry out with the situations going on in the world? Maybe situations going on in your own life. How often have you cried, "It's not fair, God"? I have. Have you ever shouted at him? Because he's okay with that. God's not a shrinking little flylet. He is God. He is bigger than the universe. He holds this universe and the many other universes in his hands. So actually, he's not going to get upset if you ever shout at him. As we consider what is prayer, we can recognize that people pray in different ways, in different physical positions. Somebody prays laying prostrate on the ground. Others jumping around. Others just sitting quietly. Some in the car. Walking in nature. Using different words and phrases. You see, there are several famous prayers that are still used today. And one of these is the Lord's Prayer, which is where we get taken from our reading this morning, which Jesus gave his disciples when they asked him to teach them how to pray. Now, early in his earthly ministry, Jesus sat down with his disciples, took time to instruct them in several important areas and topics. And we read the instruction in Matthew chapter 5 to 7. And the section often regarded as the Sermon on the Mount, because it took place on a mountainside. That is a really small, but it is the entire Matthew 6, 5 to 18. The reading, plus a little bit more of what we've had this morning. The disciples said to him, "Teach us how to pray." Isn't that amazing that they recognised that he prayed in a way that they'd never experienced before? Because actually, as a Jew, they would know how to pray. Yeah. But they recognised, hang on, this is different. He is different. They were inspired and they said, "Teach us how to pray." Because obviously we are not praying. There are five sections, if you, I think, you're looking at this passage on prayer. Verses 5 to 6, it's the correct attitude of prayer. 7 to 8, the correct practice of prayer. Verses 9 to 13, a suggested pattern for prayer. 14 to 15, prayer and forgiveness. And then 16 to 18, prayer and fasting. And all of these are important in understanding the practice of prayer. But today, we're not looking at all of that. Today, we are focusing on a suggested pattern of prayer. Those middle verses, verses 9 to 13. All are important, but our understanding and practice of prayer is what we are focusing on today. Because it is in here that we establish how to deepen, sustain our relationship with God. It helps us to establish, deepen, and sustain. So we're going to pick up on those three things. Firstly, establish, then deepen, and then sustain. To establish something means to put it in a firm basis. Prayer is a very important means in establishing our relationship with God. We establish our relationship with God when we tune into God in and through praise. As we say, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be honoured." Everybody, "Our Father in heaven, your name be honoured." What does it mean to praise God? We say that a lot. We sing it, don't we? We sing in some of our songs. Let's just praise the Lord. But what does it mean to praise God? Two important things. First of all, praise is thanking God for who he is. Who is God? Words fail us in answering this question. But we establish our relationship with God as we thank him for who he is. We can acknowledge him for his holiness, his purity, his power, his majesty, all other aspects of his being. This kind of praise gives God his rightful place because God is at the forefront of all things. He is the one that we should be establishing a relationship with. We also practice praise God when we thank him for what he's done for us in his mighty acts of restoration. The fact that I have been restored, been made a new creation. Psalm 103, 1 to 2. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, and never forget the good things he does for me. God does good things for us. However, we must not only establish our relationship, we must deepen our relationship with God. We deepen at this through prayer with petition. When we ask for and receive God's provisions. God, give us food for today. Give us our daily bread. Philippians 4:6, Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Prayer deepens our relationship with God because it deepens our trust in him. When it goes wrong, where do you go first? Where do you go first? God. That is the correct answer. That is the only answer. But I know too well for myself that when things start going wrong, he is not the first place I go. I'm ashamed to admit that. But that is the truth. I wish the truth was that I went straight to God. But often it's like, well, how can I resolve this? What can I do? Let me have a look. Because I'm intelligent, I can sort this out. And sometimes I can. But realistically, God, I should be saying, straight away, God, help me. Help me, Lord. Show me. Prayer deepens our relationship with God because it deepens our trust in him. Who trusts in Jesus here? Some of us. We all should be trusting in God because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Another way we deepen our relationship with God is by confession and forgiveness. As we pray, forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Not an easy thing. And we've talked about forgiveness already. But it takes time. It's a journey. But if we want God to forgive us, we need to forgive others. Sustain. Finally, we sustain our relationship with God as we pray. And don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. One thing, perhaps the most remembered thing, is that there will be trouble and persecution. Matthew 5:11 and John 15:21 both speak of this reality. God bless you when you are mocked and persecuted and lied about because you are my followers. The people of the world will hate you because you belong to me, for they don't know God who sent me. Jesus understood and knew that they would be engaged in a struggle, a battle. And sometimes when we invite people to follow Jesus, we say, oh yeah, come. And it's like, oh great, everything's going to be perfect. Actually, when you follow Jesus and you love him and you live for him, it's often it gets harder. It gets harder. These troubles and persecutions came because the disciples were following God and the other side did not want that to happen. The same holds true for us. If we are going to follow God, then we will be in opposition to the devil. We will therefore experience problems, pressures, and indirectly through temptation. What is required of us is prayer that allows us to seek victory over and resistance to temptation. As we read in James 4, verses 7 to 8, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. Amen. This kind of relationship includes praying for strength and willingness to resist temptation and to be led right in the right direction. Prayer is an essential part of our relationship and life with God. It is important for us to develop and maintain a strong prayer life as we seek to establish, deepen, and sustain a strong relationship with God. So, what can we take away? Jesus has given us many different things. And he offers different things to different people. And the Lord's Prayer will mean different things to different people. For some of us, certain words in the Lord's Prayer will resonate more than others. For some of us, it will be times in our lives when we go, actually, yeah, I'm so thankful for God being my Father. And at other points, it could be, I am so thankful for God being my provider. Yeah. And others, it could be just the fact that I'm grateful that he forgives me. That he releases me from temptation. So the Lord's Prayer can speak to us. It is a model. Prayer is personal. It is us expressing our thoughts and feelings to God, and God sharing and speaking to us, his children. You see, we don't have to use specific words, phrases. We don't have to be the most eloquent. We can speak to God about anything using any vocabulary. God, just be with me. Simple as that. Often somebody says, oh, I can't pray out loud because I don't pray like so-and-so. Well, that's fine because you pray like you. That's what God wants. God wants to hear you. I hope from what I have shared this morning, we can see that the Lord's Prayer offers us insights into what is prayer. This week, as we take time to look in more depth at this in our life groups, I want to invite you all to take home the following things. We may be busy. We may be busy. But we are never too busy not to pray. We may be busy, but we are never too busy not to pray. More than anything, let us be committed to recognize that prayer is essential to the ongoing relationship, to our ongoing relationship with God. And as I've already said, what helps us establish, deepen, and sustain this relationship is the Lord's Prayer. I would like to leave you with the following as a possible final takeaway. On Friday, I was at a meeting with other ministers and somebody ended up a prayer. And the green cross code man came up in that prayer. We went, really? But he did. Because he says in this prayer, he was talking about, and he just, right at the start of my message today, I suggested in the busyness of life, we need to pause. In thinking that to pause to an opportunity to pray, I want to offer the old crossing the road phrase, stop, look, and listen. And this is what that person said. He just prayed, Lord, help us to stop, to look, to listen. And to be honest, if you don't take anything else from what I'm sharing this morning, take this. In our daily life, at points, let's do as the Green Cross Code man said. Let us stop. Take a moment to put everything down and move our focus back to God. Let us look. Take time to just gaze. Not just glance at God, but to gaze at God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then lastly, to listen. Is God offering us anything in light of what we have or are about to experience in our day? Or is he just affirming his love for us? So what is prayer? It's an opportunity to stop, to look, and to listen, through which our relationship and life with God is not only developed, but maintained as we seek to establish, deepen, and sustain a strong relationship with God. Just take a moment to be still. I'm going to leave that image up on the screen. I want you to have a moment just to be quiet. We're very good in the business of noise. So let's just take a moment to be still. And take a moment to stop, to look, and listen. At the end of our time together, there will be opportunity to receive prayer on my left, your right. And our prayer team would be available and love to pray with you. And maybe, from what I've shared this morning, there is something very simple that you need to come before God with. Or maybe it's actually, I don't even know who this God is. Then I invite you to come to the front this morning, at the end of the service, and people will pray with you. They will help you, lead you into a relationship with Jesus through prayer. And as I said, this book is in the back hall and it is available if you wish to take one. Let's just take a moment to pray. Father God, you are the focus for our daily living. You are the one that we seek to have a relationship with. And we do that best when we pick up your word and when we commune with you in prayer. So Father, help us to take moments in our busy lives to just pause, to take that moment to stop, to look, and to listen. Because you have the best for us. For you are all things. You are God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Your desire is to get to know us better and for us to get to know you better. Help us to do that in this week.